It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thanks for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, up here on Signal Hill, where our thermometer on the tiny porch says 65 degrees. We're looking for mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day. West wind to 15, gusting as high as 25. We are looking for some rain tonight, mainly after 4 a.m. Increasing clouds overnight, though, with a low around 50. Calm winds. Rain tomorrow, too, with a high near 59 tomorrow. Calm winds will turn to the northeast and go to 5 miles per hour tomorrow afternoon. The good news is, for Saturday, it looks like sunny skies, and Sunday, they're saying just a chance of rain. So they're dangling a good weekend, at least for now. We have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 4:29 this afternoon. That will be a 7.8-foot tide. Our next low tide here on the east side will be at 10:03 p.m. and be 1.4 foot. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 4:52 and be 13.7 feet.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Faced with the prospect of impeachment, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is resigning. He's accused of sexually harassing 11 women, some of whom worked for him. As details of the alleged offenses solidified, so did calls for his resignation. In 14 days, Cuomo, a member of one of the most powerful New York political dynasties, plans to relinquish control of the office he's held for a decade. NPR's Brian Mann has more on today's announcement.
In a televised address, Cuomo maintained that the most serious allegations made against him can be disproved, but he also apologized for behavior he now acknowledges was disrespectful to women on his staff. He then said the scandal would consume the attention of officials at a time when the pandemic is surging.
And wasting energy on distractions is the last thing that state government should be doing. And I cannot be the cause of that.
Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul will take the reins later this month. The moderate Democrat from upstate New York will be the state's first female governor. In a statement, Hochul said Cuomo was right to step aside and that she's ready to lead. Brian Mann, NPR News, New York.
President Biden secured strong bipartisan support in the Senate for a more than $1 trillion infrastructure plan.
After years and years of infrastructure week, we're on the cusp of an infrastructure decade that I truly believe will transform America.
Biden speaking hours after the evenly split U.S. Senate passed the bill. The bill now heads to the House. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it will not get a vote until the Senate also passes a $3.5 trillion spending package that Democrats plan to push through using a budget reconciliation measure that will not require any GOP support. The Senate has already begun debate on that. And as NPR Susan Davis reports, all Senate Republicans are opposed.
Democrats intend to use a special budget process to enact legislation this fall to combat climate change, expand health care and education access, and overhaul immigration laws. Senate Budget Chairman Bernie Sanders says Democrats' plan will improve the lives of children, working families, and the elderly. He described the goal of their plan this way.
Restore the faith of the American people in the belief that we can have a government that works for all of us.
Once the Senate approves a budget resolution outlining those goals, Senate committees will get to work drafting legislation. Susan Davis, NPR News, Washington.
Facebook's banning a UK-registered advertising firm, Fozzy, that it says is behind a smear campaign against COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer, BioNTech, and AstraZeneca. Social media company says it has removed hundreds of accounts linked to a disinformation network operating out of Russia. Facebook is an NPR sponsor. This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The U.S. Senate passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill today, with both Alaska senators voting yes. Senator Lisa Murkowski calls the bill's passage historic.
Something that we have talked about doing for years, that we haven't seen done in decades, and we did it with an extraordinarily strong bipartisan support after months of working and negotiating. That is good news.
The bill has billions of dollars for Alaska's ferry system to improve rural sanitation and extend broadband internet, along with money for the nation's highways, bridges, and electrical grid. Some conservatives complain that Murkowski and the other 18 GOP senators who voted for it delivered a victory to President Biden. Murkowski says the legislation is good for Alaska and for the country.
It's incredible to me to think that we would want to deny the American people a win just because we don't happen to like our current president and his politics.
The bill goes next to the House. The Democratic-led Senate moved on to take up a much larger infrastructure package, the $3.5 trillion for climate programs, child care, education, and other social spending. Murkowski opposes that bill, saying it's a Democratic wish list compiled in a partisan process. It is expected to pass with no Republican votes. Kenai Peninsula set netters were already having a bad summer following the early closure of their fishery last month. That situation turned from bad to worse for four set net families late last week when their beach sites in Clam Gulch were vandalized. Alaska state troopers say they have since identified and charged the vandals, two juveniles, through their posts on social media. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
One of the vandalized cabins belongs to third-generation set netters Debbie and Doug Blossom.
It's pretty tough to even have a good year, let alone a big year. So, it's going to be tough to cover expenses like this and replace things when you didn't have a very good year to begin with.
Set netter Brent Johnson says he noticed something was up Thursday night when he saw a broken-down pickup truck on the beach with its windows bashed in. The next morning, he heard from a neighbor that all the windows at the Blossom's cabin down the beach were also broken. The two went inside to investigate.
And holy smokes, the place was a disaster.
Johnson says the fridge was tipped over and there were broken dishes and appliances all over the floor. Nothing was stolen, but Blossom estimates the damage could cost him between $5,000 and $8,000. He says the cabin, which was built by his father, has always been at the mercy of the tides, but it's never been vandalized before.
Always it was from a rock slide or water, never from human. But it's been a cabin that's in the family, you know, business for forever.
The vandals hit two other cabins and damaged two trucks, including the pickup Johnson saw on the beach Thursday night. But they ran out of gas and had to abandon it on the beach. Johnson says they didn't steal anything from any of the sites. An Alaska wildlife trooper and Alaska state trooper from Anchor Point responded Saturday, says trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel. Troopers say they were able to identify two juvenile perpetrators after they saw social media posts taken at the site. Here's Johnson.
There's something called Snapchat, and one of the people who did the vandalism or one of their friends put something on Snapchat about it, and that was other evidence that the police had.
Johnson says he was pleased with such a quick and thorough reaction from police.
It's just a weight off everybody's mind to know that this has been taken care of.
His site was fine, he thinks, because there was still a crew member there. Blossom says he hopes the parents take some ownership of the situation.
It's really tough growing up in the setnet industry that's just hanging on by a thread right now because of the politics and the low king escapement. And it's really tough when someone just goes randomly down and just destroys your private property like that.
Troopers say they contacted the two juveniles involved and forwarded their charges to the Division of Juvenile Justice. For KDLL, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Since February 1st, 8.6% of COVID cases in the state have been in vaccinated Alaskans. Health officials point out that even with breakthrough infections, the vaccines offer protection, since studies have shown that vaccinated individuals are much less likely to have serious symptoms or to die from the disease. State epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin says the proportion of breakthrough infections in Alaska is about what you would expect.
If you have 100 people who all got an mRNA vaccine and you expose all 100 of those who the SARS-CoV-2 virus, you would expect about 12 are actually going to come down with COVID-19 illness.
McLaughlin says the number of breakthrough cases is in line with expectations based on what is known about the overall effectiveness of the vaccines. Meanwhile, officials like McLaughlin say getting as many people vaccinated as possible will help slow the virus's process of mutating into a more dangerous form like the Delta variant. McLaughlin says more people getting infected means the virus replicates itself more often, and so there is more opportunities for errors, also known as mutations. He says most often the mutations don't help the virus.
But occasionally, the error that it makes winds up being beneficial for the virus. For example, it might make the virus have an ability to bind to human cells more tightly, or it might allow the virus to enter the cell more efficiently.
And that, he says, can make strains of COVID-19 more contagious and more deadly. The State Department of Transportation is prohibiting trucks pulling extra heavy oversized loads from using the bridge over the Tanana River at Nenana for the next several days after engineers discovered a problem Monday with the structure. KUAC's Tim Ellis has this report.
DOT spokesperson Caitlin Fry says engineers were conducting a routine inspection of the bridge just north of Nenana when they discovered a problem with one of the structure's bearings.
So that's like the piece of the bridge that connects the bridge to the foundation, and it's meant to kind of control movement of the bridge.
The bearing is located just underneath the bridge deck and on top of the piers that support the structure. It allows limited movement of the bridge's structural components to reduce stresses caused by heavy loads. Fry says the engineers think they can repair the problem in a few days.
It is going to be a fairly simple fix, and we do have crews that are scheduled to go out there either Wednesday or Thursday.
And they're going to work straight through the weekend, so they think that it's going to be up and moving by Monday.
Alaska Trucking Association Executive Director Joe Michelle says drivers of oversized trucks that need to deliver their loads sooner than that will have to use the Richardson Highway, the only other overland route that connects the interior with the rest of the state.
They're either going to have to just wait it out for, you know, the week, or the, you know, you bomb around the Richardson.
You know, one of the difficulties that we have in Alaska is that we don't have a lot of redundancy in our infrastructure. So there's really just two routes that you can go.
That may be what some of the big rig drivers have to do to deliver time-sensitive loads needed for the oil and gas or mining industries, which typically run a lot of trucks during the summer. But Fry says all other motorists, including truck drivers who aren't hauling an oversized load, shouldn't have any problem using the bridge, which is formally known as the Alaska Native Veterans Honor Bridge. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
Juneau's Planning Commission will consider updated landslide and avalanche maps at a Tuesday night meeting. The city's current maps were created in the 1970s. If adopted, the new maps will expand known hazard zones to include about half the structures in the downtown area. The planning department tried to upgrade the maps in the 1990s, but the assembly did not vote to accept them. Some residents support the new maps as vital public safety tools and urged their speedy adoption in letters to the committee. Others don't agree with the new assessment. John Nemeth is a local business owner who lives in the Highlands neighborhood. The new maps put his property in a severe hazard zone for landslides.
The city just increased our property taxes fairly significantly. And now, you know, this whole remapping for the landslide area inclusion area, in my view, is going to significantly lower our property value.
The city doesn't have information about how insurance rates or property values may change as a result of the new maps if they are adopted. The Planning Commission is tasked with making a recommendation to the Juneau Assembly. It will be up to the Assembly to approve the maps or not. Strong weather systems continue to move across southeast Alaska this week. On Sunday, Skagway and Haines both lost power for approximately 45 minutes, although no major damage was reported. KHNS's Mike Swayze talked with meteorologist Pete Boyd from the National Weather Service in Juneau to get the latest forecast.
Hey, Pete, you know, both Skagway and Haines lost power on Sunday night for a stretch as the wind and rain got pretty intense. How's the forecast looking for the rest of the week?
Well, what you got was the first of about three systems that we expect to move through the panhandle in Southeast Alaska through the week. Already, you already talked about the strong winds that we had up in Skagway and Haines, and it dumped about a quarter up to over half an inch of rain for those locations. The next system is going to be producing another probably upwards of a quarter to possibly half an inch of rain. It's a little more steady, not as heavy as we were seeing, but still going to be adding into all the rainfall. Winds for Skagway and Haines are going to continue to stay breezy with some gusts upwards of 40 miles per hour plus into Tuesday. Then we have a short lull in precipitation. Then we've got another system moving through, and this one's going to be moving through Wednesday night into Thursday, and then enhanced again on Friday. This is the bigger system for precipitation. That one, we are especially looking at the areas kind of near Yakutat, upwards of 2 to 3 inches for Wednesday. And then as we start moving into Friday, as an atmospheric river sets up, and that's basically what it sounds like, a river of water moving through the atmosphere, that's where you might be seeing upwards of almost an inch every 6 hours, especially for Yakutat.
Is it looking just as bad in Skagway and Haines?
For Haines and Skagway, get a little bit less of the precipitation than some areas right now, such as Yakutat, Gustavus, or Juneau, but still enough heavy rain that we're concerned about flooding throughout the week. We've already seen some rises on the Taya River. In addition to the rain, we're also still going to be seeing windy conditions throughout this time with some lulls in between the systems.
You know, when you say atmospheric river, that brings us back to the big storms from last December that caused the fatal landslides in Haines and big washouts in Skagway. Are we looking at a repeat?
At this time, not anywhere near those amounts. That was a significant event with the stream flowing through with multiple bands. This one is a little bit faster moving. So while there will be a good hit of rain moving through, we are not expecting that rainfall totals that we saw for December. However, since we've been getting the soaking rain, landslides and any unstable events are always a concern.
All right, but we're not necessarily calling for nearly as much precipitation as we had in December. The chances of landslides are probably less pronounced than certainly they were back then.
That is correct. That is correct at this time. But we also have seen some other landslides further south, not as impactful. Metlakatla had one that shut down a roadway temporarily. So the area around southeast, we're always concerned, especially when we start seeing these prolonged rain events.
Okay. Pete, thank you so much for the update, and we'll stay tuned.
No problem. Have a good day.
A 56-foot commercial fishing vessel sank Friday near Prince of Wales Island in southern southeast. The vessel Doxa went down in the vicinity of Scowl Island in Kasan Bay, according to the U.S. Coast Guard. All five people on board survived with no injuries reported. Coast Guard Petty Officer Melissa McKenzie says watchstanders in Sector Juneau received a Mayday call early Friday morning. She says the boat sank in about 600 feet of water, but the crew was able to abandon ship.
Before it sank, they were able to get into a small skiff. They floated in the small skiff for a while, then a Good Samaritan vessel came by and recovered all five individuals.
McKenzie says the crew waited in the Good Samaritan vessel until the Coast Guard Ketchikan Station's 45-foot boat arrived, which took the crew and the skiff in tow back to Ketchikan. The Doxa is owned by Ketchikan-based company Doxa Fisheries and is registered for purse seine fishing. Coast Guard Marine Safety Detachment Ketchikan will be conducting an investigation to determine the cause of the sinking.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. It's Alaska Wild Salmon Day. What would the salmon say? More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
It is officially Alaska Wild Salmon Day. The honor was established 6 years ago by former Governor Bill Walker when he signed a bill designating every August 10th as a day to honor the fish that is the cultural and economic backbone of so many communities. Fishermen shared what they would say to the salmon.
Gosh, what would I say to a salmon? I've always been pretty heartless towards salmon, as you know.
Sorry you'll never spawn.
I would say you're just a dollar bill with fins.
Thank you for what you're offering.
So I think you're one of God's most magnificent creatures. The arduous journey you have been on is worthy of respect. I'm deeply honored to be a part of your life cycle. Every time I slide my hand along your glistening scales or feel the power when you flick your strong tail, I am thankful.
Salmon fishing provides jobs for over 30,000 Alaskans and generates $2 billion a year in economic input. Salmon provides 37% of the value of Alaska's total fish catches and 14% of the volume. And 95% of the wild salmon eaten by Americans comes from Alaska. What would the salmon say to us?
Yeah, what would a salmon say to me? I'm really getting a bunch of Nemo-like quotes going through my head right now. Like, swim down.
You just want me for my body.
I know a lot of people, like, thought that if salmon could talk, they'd just be screaming in the net. Help me! But I've never even paid any attention to that.
Across the board, from subsistence to sport and commercial fishermen, all Alaskans respect the iconic fish and are thankful for the food and lifestyle it provides.
I would like to tell salmon, my relatives, we will always be here to protect you. And I look forward to us living in harmony with one another.
Thanks to the production assist from Alex Trokey in Homer. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 30. This announcement was issued 10 a.m. August 9th. There will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, August 10th to 9 p.m. Wednesday, August 11th in the Iseuit Bay section of the Afognak District. As previously announced, there will be a 105-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Wednesday, August 11th to 9 p.m. Sunday, August 15th in the following areas: the Northwest Kodiak District, the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District, the Outer Iakulik section of the Southwest Kodiak District, and the Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District, and the Sitka-Leedik, Two-Headed, and Seven Rivers section of the Eastside Kodiak District. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Wednesday, August 11th to 9 p.m. Friday, August 13th in the following areas: the Raspberry Strait, northwest of Afognak, Paranosa Bay, northeast of Afognak, Duck Bay, and southeast of Afognak section of the Afognak District, the northeast Kodiak District, except the Buskin River section will remain closed, the inner and outer Ugak Bay sections of the Eastside Kodiak District, and the mainland district, except the inner Kukak Bay section, will remain closed. The Spiriton Bay Special Harvest Area, Telluride Cove, remains open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice. Cost recovery fisheries began in the Katoy Bay Special Harvest Area on August 8th. Fishing opportunities in the Duck Bay, Iseuit Bay, Inner Katoy Bay, and Outer Katoy Bay sections will be dependent on the ability to meet KRAA cost recovery needs, and all cost recovery information can be obtained by calling 486-6559. Until further notice, in that portion of the Northwest Kodiak and Southwest Kodiak districts, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, Chinook salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are as shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record-a-phone at 486-4559.
Welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 10th day of August, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 6:24. It will set again at 10:04. That will give us 15 hours and 40 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 34 seconds compared to yesterday. A record high for this date was 81, set in 1971. A record low was 40, which was set in 1973, 1999, 2008, and 2020. 40, a popular temperature. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up, a high tide coming up at 4:29 this afternoon here on the east side. That will be a 7.7 foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:03 p.m. of 1.4 foot tide. Our high tide for early in the morning will be at 4:08 a.m. and be 9.1 feet. And our low tide for tomorrow morning will be at 10:36 a.m. and be a minus 1 foot tide on the east side. Over on the west side, and this is Larson Bay, you have a high tide coming up at 4:52 this afternoon. That will be a 13.7 foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:47 p.m. of 1.9 feet. Your next high tide will be at 4:40 a.m. and be 14.4 feet. Your low tide for tomorrow morning will be at 11:09 a.m. and be minus 1.6 feet in Larson Bay. 64 degrees right now. We're looking for mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day, clouding up overnight. And we're having a low of 50, it sounds like, tonight. Rain tomorrow, high near 59. Calm winds will turn to the northeast and be 5 miles per hour. For Thursday, a 30% chance of rain. Friday, 30% chance of rain. And Saturday, sunny skies, high near 61. Looking at our marine weather. For Chiniac and Marmot Bays, Chiniac Bay, southwest 15, becoming west 10 this afternoon, seas to 2 feet. For tomorrow, variable less than 10, seas to 3 feet with rain. Up in Marmot Bay, west wind to 20 knots right now and seas to 4 feet. For tomorrow, variable less than 10, seas to 3 feet with rain. Due to lack of staffing, the Kodiak Island Borough landfill will be temporarily closed for the public access until further notice. Commercial contractors will be allowed by appointment only. Call this number if you are a contractor, 907-486-9343. The Kodiak Island Borough thanks the public for their patience and understanding during this time. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a work session tonight at 7:30 p.m. and a regular meeting on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. They'll both be happening in the Kodiak Public Library Multipurpose Room. Both meetings are open to the public and will be broadcast live here on KMXT on 100.1 FM, as well as being web-streamed on the city website, which is where you want to go for the web-streaming link, agendas, and meeting packets. For more information, call the city clerk at 486-8636. Warm August night is this Saturday, August 14th. It's happening at the Kodiak Fairgrounds, and you're having lots of great entertainment starting at 6 p.m. and going all the way through, well, who knows, past midnight. Admission is 5 cans of food plus $10 or just $20. For kids under 12, it's just 5 cans of food. Enjoy deluxe hamburgers and hot dogs from the grill. There's a cash bar and beer garden. Classy cars and bikes will be featured. And you can catch a shuttle bus downtown. They begin running at 5:30 from the Harbor Master, and the last bus to town will go at 12:30 a.m. from the fairgrounds. Remember, no dogs, no glass, no coolers, no backpacks. The three no's. No dogs, no glass, no coolers, no backpacks. But again, that Saturday starts at 6 p.m. The first shuttle bus starts at 5:30 at the Harbor Master. Also on Saturday, Kodiak's 4-H Dog Show is happening. That's happening at the Kodiak Baptist Mission across from Mission Beach. And that's going on at, what time was it? 1 p.m. 1 p.m., Kodiak Baptist Mission across from Mission Beach on Saturday. Bring your dogs. There's still time for the library summer reading program. All ages are welcome to participate and earn prizes. Sign up for Beanstack to log your reading and get involved. Just check out kodiak.beanstack.org. Also, don't forget, the public library is hosting the Community Beekeeping Project. Watch a live hive check every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Call to reserve a spot outside with the beekeeper, or you can watch from inside. For more information, contact the library at 486-8686. And just a reminder, Masks are required for entry to the library until further notice.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.